The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Michael Fabiano today, Fantasy Football Focus with Sandy Charles. That comes up at about 10:40 this morning. This is a show I've been very much wanting to do for a while. I have notes that I put around my office in these home shows. I'm just like you. I'm at home. I'm not in a studio. This is my studio. I built it up, got my tree, feel good, like being here. But I've got notes pasted around here of here's something that I want to get into and do a deep dive on during the course of the show. It's something here in the last few weeks where I've just looked at the show and said I want to start doing more of me on a commentary basis on certain things that are going to happen in sports. There's times I'll sit and I will visit with an executive. Like the last 2 weeks, I've sat with people in the casino business, and I've sat with them and visited with them. Yeah, there's some business there, but it's more about, okay, where are you guys going when it comes to betting? Betting on pro sports and college sports in Arizona. Nothing wrong with going to Vegas, and we've been doing betting here on this show since 2012 with Jimmy Vaccaro, our good buddy at the South Point. We haven't shied away from it. I've seen networks shy away from it. There was a point in time where sports betting was just viewed as the evil, and it's mobs, and it's this, and it's that. And then through the course of the years, people have gone to Vegas for March Madness, and they've been there for college games. They've been there for pro games, and it's, why are we just not doing this everywhere? And there will be those people that will say, you know, there's nothing good that comes out of that. And I have actually worked closely, not in this space, but I worked closely with someone who was a compulsive gambler, someone who had to go in for to rebuild their life, actually, and that lost everything, that couldn't help himself when it came to betting and pro sports. He was in the sports business, and it was something that I learned very early in my career in talking with him about how hard it was for him as a compulsive gambler. And so, you know, that is the backdrop. Sports gambling is coming to Arizona in 2021. It's coming. It's not a matter of if or maybe. In talking with the two casino executives that I've visited with and someone in the advertising space I've talked to, all here in Arizona, it's coming. And I think it's something to where you need to be aware that it's coming, because I think it's going to be terrific. I really do. There will be those that will be negative on it. But it's like last night watching the Eagles game late. That Eagles game last night, if you had any money on that game in any way, shape, or form, and that's where it's going. There was a time early on where fantasy football was just viewed as, yeah, this is silly. This is stupid. I'm not going to play it. It's like the person that says, you know, you tweet or twit, or, you know, that made fun of Twitter. Well, they made fun of social media. They just didn't want to adjust. They were just set in their own ways. Sports gaming is much like that, I do believe. That there are those that have this, whatever's been preached into them, that putting money down on a game is a bad thing, that only bad things can come from it. And I'm not naive enough to sit here to say there's not going to be a downside. Of course there's going to be a downside. Of course there's going to be people trying to get the players to sway games. I covered the point-shaving team at Arizona State. I was the color analyst on that team. I sat there with the late Tom Dillon and watched Arizona State blow games. I just thought, man, they were terrible. They were horrible. Saw Headache Smith straight up, for those of you that were here. Those of you that remember all that, the point-shaving scandal at Arizona State basketball, I was right in the middle of that deal from a broadcasting point. And, yeah, it was awful. It was terrible. And it happened. So now there's times where I'll watch a game like last night. Yeah, I was watching the game. The line was 6.5. We saw how the game ended up. You know, it was 23-17. A two-point conversion. Al Michaels refers to sports gambling. Joe Buck refers to sports gambling. It is out there and it is everywhere. And I think that from an entertainment standpoint, I just want you to know how deep it is into Arizona. And it's at 10:20. I'm just going to devote a whole segment to that. Again, just in talking with people in the industry that I trust, that I know this isn't just me with my own little rant. But you just put it away, put it away, put it away, and it's coming. And what will it look like for you, the consumer? So we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. I stopped in yesterday to Desert Financial Credit Union over in Gilbert. I stopped in to make a deposit into our business account. Sports 360 AZ is part of Desert Financial. They're part of us. They're part of us. And we're part of them. And I dealt with a very nice guy who took the time to walk me through some things. I had some questions about other business aspects. He pointed me in the right direction, gave me a card of someone to talk to. I was in and out of there in, I don't know, 10 minutes. Socially distanced, very safe. Got all my business transactions done, the receipt out, take off, on with the day. Desert Financial Credit Union, okay? They can take care of you. They can take care of your business. And on a personal side, too, it's Desert Financial Credit Union. Outside of the game last night, so we're starting to hit this bleep storm, I think is the best way to put it. And Peter King is with us every week, referred to it probably about a month ago, Football Morning in America's Peter King. He referred to it that, you know, we've gotten through every week pretty much unscathed. We have not lost any games. We have this week 17 that is sitting there in case things go the wrong direction. And I've noticed with Peter the last few weeks, and Peter is, because he is so good at what he does, he just puts things in his notebook and he's not going to share them until Monday morning when he posts it. And it's fine. I'm fine with that. But he's referred to, you know, the virus. The virus is going to get stronger. The NFL virus is going to get stronger. And sure enough, here we are. So the Steelers-Ravens game was supposed to be played on Thanksgiving night. And then it got moved to Sunday. And then it got moved to Monday. And now it's being played tomorrow. The good news is tomorrow at 1:40 in the afternoon on a Wednesday, if you so desire, you can watch an NFL game if they play. I've always felt that the NFL playing during weekdays outside of Monday nights is too entirely hard and difficult on players. The players, though, the players' union agreed to this. The players were given the option of you can opt out, but we may have to do some crazy stuff here in 2020 to get through a season. And the NFL has yet to lose a game. They're over halfway through the season. I think NFL Sundays have felt good to people. The numbers are really good in some cases. In other cases, they're okay. But anybody who tries to rip NFL ratings, and I have people that send me stuff, of course it's from a website that has their own spin, that doesn't have credibility, that has the only narrative that they want to hear. And it shows that there's 3 million less people that were watching a game than a year ago. Yeah, and there's still 14 million people watching the game. Give me something else and move on with your time when that happens. So the NFL is still wildly popular, even in this uncertain COVID time. I think there's a space where we look forward to seeing games. Last night, I stuck with Seattle for a good portion of the night. I think the Seahawks, now that they found, we're just talking X's and O's. Brock Huard is with us very regularly on the show, referred to it a couple weeks back. He's in Seattle. If they get Chris Carson back at running back, as he goes, so they go. Not only do they have Chris Carson back, he looked great, but they have Carlos Hyde. They got two very good running backs. And yes, Russell Wilson is still taking too many hits. DK Metcalf was just a wrecking ball last night. I look at where the Cardinals are in the NFC West, and I see a team like Seattle who's gotten better. They had Dunlap on the defensive front. They're getting pressure inside. Yeah, they're still giving up some points. Philadelphia stinks. They're not good. But for the Seahawks to be able to turn around and gash teams with a running play here and a running play there between Carson and Hyde, they're a better team than the Arizona Cardinals right now. They just are. Anybody wants to argue that's a season ticket holder of the Cardinals or is on the team payroll, it's fine. That's your space. Seattle is doing this. I don't know what to make out of the Rams because Sean McVay called out Jared Goff again. I don't know, and Sean McVay is 6-0. He's perfect against the Cardinals. He's never lost to the Arizona Cardinals. He's averaging almost 30 points per game on the Cardinals. He owns Arizona. So will he own them? Will he own them this coming Sunday? And really is what turned out to be a must-win game for the Cardinals. They've got to stop this spiraling downward. If not for DeAndre Hopkins' miracle catch, this team had lost four straight. And you could say, well, yeah, but if they pushed the ball in the end zone at the end of the first half in New England, yeah, you could, but they didn't, and they lost. So it's really coming down to, can they take two of the three between the Rams and the one game with the 49ers within the division? Because I think tiebreakers are really going to play a part of it. I'm very impressed with Seattle because they are trending in the right direction now. Yeah, their defense was lousy. I think San Francisco's getting healthier. And so it doesn't matter to me if the 49ers have to play games in Glendale. They're not going to be fans in front of them in San Francisco. The only downside on that deal, if you didn't hear, the 49ers have to come down here and play a couple of games. They're being moved out of the county up there. Is the players are going to be away from their families. And I do think that there is something to that, you know, especially during the holiday season. The sense of normalcy, being away for a couple of weeks. I don't know about you. I'm away from my family for 3, 4, 5 days on my own. It's not good. You know, we heard about the bubble and the NBA players, and they adjusted to it. Will they be able to adjust to it if they're the 49ers? But I think they're getting healthy, and they're heading in the right direction. And so the Rams are one of those maybes. This is a game the Cardinals have to win on Sunday. We're not going to sit here and sugarcoat and say, well, you know, no. No, they have to win. I've got some college stuff I want to get to a little bit later on in the show. There is some bowl projections that are starting to come out, and one of them is very appealing to me because it involves a local quarterback from high school who went on to college, who's tearing it up in college, who may be playing here in the Fiesta Bowl. We'll get into that. Sports gaming, though, in Arizona in 2021, on the other side, even down to the television network that many of you watch because it's where the Suns, the Diamondbacks, the Coyotes, and our TV show is all housed out of. They're changing their name with gambling. I'll have that for you on the other side. And then Michael Fabiano with Sandy Charles at about 10:45. Stay with us. So about a month ago, I had a friend or a person who's now a friend reach out to me on social media and send me a note. This person happens to be involved in the casino business, one of the casinos here in Arizona. He is up there in management. He said, I'd like to meet with you. So met with him, and I've been hearing all about sports gaming coming to Arizona in 2021. In fact, Fox Sports Arizona is changing their name. They're changing their name to Bally's Sports Network. Bally's after the casino. Bally's bought the naming rights from the new ownership group of all the Fox Sports regions. Not to get too deep on you here, but there's Fox Sports San Diego, there's Fox Sports LA, there's Fox Sports Midwest. Fox Sports Arizona hosts the Diamondbacks and the Suns and the Coyotes and our show. And they've done so with us. We've done business with them in partnership since 2014. And when I saw that Bally's was jumping on as the title sponsor for this network and they're changing their name, I was like, wow, okay. So sports gaming has been on my radar this year. Actually, it even started last year, and I would talk to people about the compacts in gambling and how valuable those compacts are that allow you to be able to go inland here in Arizona, have your casino, have the license. As I visited with this person over lunch a few weeks back, he indicated to me and said, we are going to be opening a sports book here in 2021. Okay. And he said, we're going to have people being able to come in and they're going to bet on games. All right. Been hearing about this. And he said, yeah, it's going to be this many square feet and this is where it's going to be located. And this is what it's going to look like. And this is what we envision in terms of traffic. And here's what we want it to look like. This is coming. So then I got in touch with, I was put in touch actually by a friend in the business who pointed me towards someone else with one of the major, major casinos here in the Valley with several locations. And I visited with them. I Zoomed with them last week and they said, yes, we are going to be opening a sports book in 2021 and it's going to be this many square feet and this is what it's going to be able to do. And so as I'm sitting there having this conversation with this person over Zoom, and we went about an hour and you know, what's it going to look like, and who are you going to cater to, and how are you going to handle it with teams and all of that stuff. Well, I visited with people on the team side, and this actually can go all the way back, I'd say late 2000s. I was talking with Jerry Colangelo about this and some of the people around him, and they all said, you know, this phone, eventually you're going to be able to go, Brad, to a Suns game or a Diamondbacks game or a sporting event, and you're going to be able to sit there with your phone, and you're going to be able to say, okay, in the third quarter of this game, said running back is going to do this. Or in the second quarter of this basketball game, this player is going to score X amount of points. And you're going to be able to push send. You're going to be able to walk into a arena. We'll just use the Suns as an example. You're going to be able to walk into the arena, and the Suns may be playing the Bucks. And you're going to put money on Giannis as you walk in and you go to like an ATM and you put in your bets, and you can manage it right here on your phone too. That's coming in 2021, 2022 at the latest, I think, with the teams, the leagues. The idea of having sports gaming here and why it is such a big deal to me, because I see how many, or I talk to how many of you go to Vegas, and Vegas is going to be just fine. But if you're going to be a disruptor, and you see where states, I was reading this morning where there was a state in the Midwest, I forget which one, but there was one that was just granted the ability to do betting. I believe it was Michigan. I could be wrong on that. And so I know that it's happening across the country. And here in 2021, I was told by, again, one of these executives, we plan on having our sports book up and running by June or July. The name Bally Sports Network with Fox Sports Arizona, probably by April, probably by then. It's going to be that quick. It may even be sooner than that, maybe the first of the year. But I would assume by opening day of Major League Baseball that you're going to be saying, what is that? Well, it's a casino, and it now is a broadcast network. So what would this look like for you? You know, are you going to be that person that suddenly says, okay, the line on the game, the Cardinals are a minus seven, or let's use last week's game at New England. The Cardinals were a road favorite. And are you going to be looking at the games differently now? Everywhere I see in sports, gaming has suddenly become this deal. It's no longer the dirty little secret. And so here in Arizona, are you going to be the one that decides to go to a sports book in 2021 in Arizona and sit there and put down your money and watch the games? And who's going to have the nicer sports book? That's going to be a topic of conversation. What will it look like with social distancing and if there's a vaccine in place? And I think there's a little bit behind that reasoning of let's hurry up and get this stuff on the table, because when they're able to go, okay, this is more of a social deal to me, but it's like traveling over Thanksgiving. People were so tired of being pent up. It was the most traveled Thanksgiving that we'd seen. So when people get the vaccine and they're able to go out, are they going to put down their dollars? Are they going to say, okay, now I'm ready to go? It's coming here in 2021, and it's going to be in a space where you'll be able to go to several of these books. I watched Charles Barkley over the weekend with Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning and Steph Curry, and DraftKings was one of the big sponsors, and DraftKings was asking, do you think Charles and Phil will be able to win? Go on now and vote, and you may win X amount of dollars. They're already test marketing this stuff. So for some of you, it's like, yeah, I got it. But I think for many of you to know that in the next 6 months, this is going to be a thing in Arizona. It just is. And it will change the way that we do things. Will people still want to go to live sporting events? Will they still want to go to games? Or will it be more fun for them to go to a sports book? Will they still want to go to games and pay for seats and pay for parking and do all that just so they can say that they went versus go put that money into a wager on a team? A bet on a team, a parlay, you know, a prop bet, all that stuff. And it's coming here in Arizona. It's coming soon. On the other side, college football. So I've got some stuff on U of A I want to get into with Kevin Sumlin and coaching. Matt Campbell's name is out there. The Michigan job. Where's Urban Meyer at in all this? And could we see a former Arizona star quarterback in high school play in the bowl game here in the Fiesta Bowl? I'll get to that coming up after this timeout. Michael Fabiano and Sandy Charles here in about 7 minutes. So Arizona State. I want to do some college football here. There's a lot to get to. Arizona State and the U of A, very much shaping up as the bowl game for both teams. Arizona State may try to add or will try to add another game after they play the Territorial Cup next week. But I've had some fans that have said, do you think it's an advantage that U of A has continued to play games and we have not? The Arizona State faithful starting to get nervous about this game. And I would say to you, although U of A doesn't look good still. I did like that they had Will Plummer at quarterback from Gilbert High School. I did like that the other night at UCLA, but they still don't look like a very good football team. I have no idea what Arizona State's going to look like on Saturday night. For those of you that just think they're going to walk in and roll UCLA, remember UCLA played last week. And the Sun Devils have suspended Jack Jones and Ashari Crosswell, so two guys in their secondary. I don't know if they will play or not play. I don't know. But beyond that, those are two players that are key on the back end of their defense. What started out to be a season of, man, this team's going to be good enough to go do this and go do that. If they could just find a replacement running back, but they have all these stud freshmen, you know, they have these stud wide receivers and dun, 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 dun. Now all of a sudden it's, can you just get to a game on Saturday against UCLA? And then the Territorial Cup being in Tucson, and who knows what that's going to look like. They're talking about shelter in place in Tucson. And so can they get these games even in? And they're not going to go to a bowl game from all likelihood. And they can't go to the Sun Bowl because the Sun Bowl has been canceled. So for those of you that get happy every year by the team winning 5 and 6 games and going to El Paso, not happening this year. That's what's going on the ASU front. Kevin Sumlin, there's this narrative that if he does not win a game this year, that he's going to get fired. I felt like last year that Kevin Sumlin was on thin ice. I don't hear too many people down in Tucson that are fans. Their season ticket base is below 10,000. When Rich Rod was there, it was north of 25,000. People just flat don't care. When their basketball program is being looked at under suspicion by the NCAA with a level one violation, and everybody's like, oh, no, no, can't be us. Just wait and see. My point in that is you can't pay off both Kevin Sumlin and Sean Miller. You can't do it. They don't have the money to do it. So they need to let Sean Miller's contract run out. If they were to fire Kevin Sumlin, they would need to go find somebody who is cheap. They need to go find a very inexpensive hire. They need to go find a coordinator or a position coach who could come into Tucson and get people interested and get people behind that program once again. For those of you that are just new to this, I didn't go to ASU. I didn't go to U of A. I don't have a dog in the fight. I simply don't care. But Charlie Ragle's name is one that keeps coming up. Charlie's up at Cal. Charlie comes into Arizona. He takes all the top players. He was at U of A. He's well-regarded. He'd do well in front of an audience. He just needs to go find some veteran assistant coaches to put alongside of him. He would be just fine. He'd be what U of A needs. I don't know if he's going to stay at Cal. I don't know if Rich Rod's going to surface somewhere and Charlie goes with him, but that's just a name that I think you should consider. Jim Harbaugh's position is tenuous at best, but he's the highest paid guy in the state. It doesn't sound like, doesn't read like, even though most people I know that go to Michigan or attended Michigan or graduated from Michigan, think he should be gone. It's not that simple. The Urban Meyer to Michigan stuff, it makes for great fantasy land. Urban Meyer to Texas, it makes for great fantasy land. All Urban Meyer has done is won at Bowling Green, and he won at Utah, and he won at Florida, and he won at Ohio State. He has a nice, cushy job sitting on the set at Fox. Why would he go to Michigan? It would make for great theater, make for great drama. But is Michigan, is it just one of those brand names that it's not what it once was? Is Texas one of those brand names that it just isn't what it once was? And the answer is yes. There's people that get caught up in the name across the chest like it's supposed to be intimidating or a big deal. Texas this year, And so when you have Urban Meyer sitting out there, all of a sudden his name starts getting linked. I had some U of A people. Do you think Urban Meyer would come here? Maybe to golf. That's it. You kidding me? That's more than a reclamation project. And it's not hating on the school. It's your stadium needs improvements. It's landlocked. Your athletic department has always been about basketball and not football. You know, outside of the 1 year with Dick Tomey, come on. You know, it is what it is. And so we're getting into the season of hiring and firing. And this idea that Kevin Sumlin is going to be tossed out, I could see that happening. But how do you pay him off? And how do you go out and find somebody in the midst of a pandemic that if you don't have the money and you have your basketball coach sitting over there and he's got big violations coming down the pike at him, that train is coming. If you think that's just ESPN made up stuff, then again, you're just red and blue and you don't see truth. You don't. You hear what you want to hear. So those things are of interest to me. In particular, a guy like Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Matt Campbell's name is everywhere today. His name's at Michigan. His name's at Texas. He's done a terrific job at Iowa State. And Iowa State may end up playing here in the Fiesta Bowl. Stuart Mandel at The Athletic did his latest projections. I like Stu, and I think he does a very good job and has great insight. What if Brock Purdy played against Washington in the Fiesta Bowl and Iowa State were here, and you have the star high school quarterback coming home? They would sell tickets, which they desperately need to do. Iowa State's crazy. Those fans are nuts, in a good way. And so I'd keep an eye on that. Sandy Charles and Michael Fabiano, Fantasy Football Focus with Fabs is next. Stay with us.
Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Charles, and I'm joined by Sports Illustrated senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. Michael, it is 2020. Weird things are happening. We're not even through week 12 yet, but we are going to talk about week 13 and look ahead. So going forward, which running back in Atlanta do you prefer for the rest of the season, Todd Gurley or Ito Smith?
It's certainly Gurley once he's healthy, because he's going to get the job back. And Ito Smith didn't do anything at all in terms of snaps and touches before Gurley was out. Mm-hmm. I will say this. I don't care who the Atlanta running back is this week. I'm not playing him against New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Their defense is really good against the run. So this is a week to fade those backs. But rest of season, if Gurley's healthy, he's the guy.
Now, 49ers, they've had a tough season, lots of injuries, but going forward, is 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel a must start the rest of the season?
I mean, I don't know if he's a must start, but he's a pretty good start. I love Deebo. I thought he was going to break out coming into the season. He had a very good second half of his 2019 campaign. Super talented guy, no George Kittle. The targets are going to be there. Yeah. So, I mean, at worst, he's going to be a really nice flex starter for the rest of the season. He's just got to avoid injuries, and that's been the problem this season.
And now they're going to be here playing games in Arizona, so that's kind of...
I know, right? You guys get, like, double the games now. Are they letting fans in the stadium at that facility?
From what I heard, no so far, but also because Cardinals aren't letting any fans in after Larry Fitzgerald, it was announced he was tested positive. Then they came back and said no fans December 6th, if I have that correct. So, not sure, but that would be pretty cool for 49er fans that are in Arizona.
Yeah, no question about that. The NFL's had to do a lot of strange things. I legit had, like, the biggest migraine headache yesterday from the schedule, just getting changed over and over and over and over again. It's been the toughest season for fantasy analysts and fantasy players alike. But you know what? It's better than not having football.
Totally true. Have you ever worked a season or had to cover a season where a game, we're on Tuesday taping, filming, it's live. Have you ever been here in this situation and not gotten through a week where one more week 12 game is tomorrow on Wednesday?
I think there was one time, and I don't remember what the year was, but it was like, I want to say it was maybe like 10 or 12 years ago where the NFL moved a game to a Wednesday, I believe, because of Barack Obama's Democratic National Convention appearance. I can't remember exactly, but it doesn't happen often.
No, it sums up 2020. Well, another thing that is difficult to talk about, and that's the Bears and their quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. So if you're going forward, if you have to start a Bears quarterback, which one are you going to do?
I guess whoever's starting that week, Trubisky, for me, I'm fine with Trubisky because he loves throwing the ball to Allen Robinson, and that's all I care about. Mm-hmm. I want Allen Robinson to score. The Bears actually were pretty fantasy friendly this past week. David Montgomery had a huge game. Allen Robinson had a couple of touchdowns. I mean, Jimmy Graham wasn't all that good, but I mean, Jimmy Graham's Jimmy Graham. But in terms of fantasy production, I will take that. And I actually like Trubisky this week against Detroit. Their defense is not good. And Trubisky's actually had some success against them in his career. So, like, I'm not saying start him as a top 12 play in redrafts, but if you're in a 2QB or super flex league, I mean, like, Trubisky's on the radar.
As always, I'm joined by Sports Illustrated senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. Michael, we haven't talked about defenses in a hot minute. So is there a defense you like with a favorable matchup for the playoffs?
So looking at the schedule, actually the Cardinals have a pretty favorable schedule. The Cowboys do too, but their defense stinks. So that doesn't matter. The Rams might be the best defense in the fantasy playoffs based on the schedule. The Browns have some favorable matchups. New Orleans has some favorable matchups. Buffalo as well. But for me, I'm picking up defense on a week-to-week basis because things change so much in the NFL. Like, think about, for example, the Raiders, okay? Everyone was starting Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller. Derek Carr was a very popular streamer last week. Nelson Aguilar, they didn't do anything. Derek Carr had 0.6 of a point. Yeah. And Atlanta's defense scored 28 fantasy points. So it's so week to week, but that's the league that we're in right now. Things change at a moment's notice. Like, a lot of people out there are probably like, I'm not starting Derek Carr ever again. But he's got the Jets this week. Yeah. So maybe you are.
Yeah.
You have to remember, and I've said this a million times, what happened last week doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, doesn't matter. It's what's going to happen this upcoming week.
Now, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. How nervous should fantasy owners be having Carson Wentz?
I hope you don't have him as your starter. Quarterback's deep. So he looks bad. He looks bad. But here's the crazy thing. That Hail Mary touchdown pass at the end of the game last night, he got him almost 19 points. He was a top 8 quarterback. Yeah. It's crazy. So it is what it is. Like, he's not even a matchup-based starter anymore. I mean, Seattle's defense isn't that good. It's been playing better. Yeah. Ultimately, he ended up with almost 19 points, but it was luck. It was absolute luck. He's got Green Bay this week. I can't play Carson Wentz. He's playing in a – the whole team stinks right now. I mean, like, you know, I can make fun of the Cowboys. I know we stink. The Eagles stink right now. Their offense is brutal. I mean, the offensive line is all banged up. Miles Sanders has done nothing in a couple of weeks. I mean, the only guy you could trust on there is probably Dallas Goedert at this point. Although Sanders is a must-start this week against Green Bay.
So let's get to waiver wires then. So start with quarterback, since we're talking about quarterback already. Quarterback waiver wire needs.
Ryan Fitzpatrick should be the number one quarterback picked up this week. He had a very good game against the Jets, 2 touchdown passes, more than 19 fantasy points, and now he's got the Bengals, another revenge game. But half the league is revenge games. Fitzpatrick could be a top 12 quarterback this week. Kirk Cousins has given you 20-plus points in 3 of his last 4. He's got the Jaguars. That's a good matchup. I mentioned Derek Carr. Like, I get it. He sucked last week, but he's got the Jets. Phillip Rivers has got Houston this week. And if you're really desperate, like I said, Mitchell Trubisky, Mike Glennon, that's really desperate. And Colt McCoy is the ultimate in desperation at the quarterback position.
Wide receiver waiver wire needs.
So T.Y. Hilton's coming off his best game in a while. But if you're in a deep league and he's been dropped, he owns Houston in his career. He's had 15-plus points in 3 of his last 4 games against them. He's done really well against the Texans. So I'm not saying he's a great play. I'm saying based on the trend, you could do worse as a flex starter in a league where you start multiple flex positions. Gabriel Davis in Buffalo is going to get more burn with John Brown out. Now in Jacksonville – if DJ Chark and Chris Conley are both out again, I still prefer Keelan Cole or Laviska Shenault. But Colin Johnson had a big game last week out of nowhere. He had a touchdown and nearly 20 fantasy points. So all three of those guys are on the radar. Kiki QT now. Boy, doesn't it stink if you got Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson? Really, I mean, Will Fuller is having a career year. He's the wide receiver 7. The one big bugaboo about him is what? He can't stay healthy. This year, he stays healthy. Now he's been suspended for the rest of the season because of something he took. Just unreal. So Kiki QT is going to be worth an add. Rashad Perriman's giving you double digits in three straight games. And then Alan Lazard also is going to be worth a look at wide receiver.
Running back, waiver wire needs, what are they?
Cam Akers would be my top guy. I don't know that he's going to break out of the three-headed backfield monster in L.A., but he's clearly been the best back in the last couple of games. James White only had 6 touches, but he scored 2 touchdowns. No Rex Burkhead. So he's a flex starter moving forward. As I mentioned, Ito Smith, Brian Hill, only if Gurley can't play in week 13. And honestly, like, I wouldn't play either one of those guys against New Orleans. Frank Gore. I mean, the dude is like 100 years old, and Adam Gase loves him. And he had a 53% touch share last week. He's got the Raiders this week. So, like, legitimately, Frank Gore could be a flex starter. It's crazy. Devontae Booker in Las Vegas. Reminder, folks, Dalvin Cook got hurt last week. Josh Jacobs got hurt last week. They're both expected to play, but if those injuries were worse and you didn't have Devontae Booker or Alexander Mattison, chances are you're screwed. You've got to ensure these top backs right now. Fantasy playoffs are in a week, so make sure you handcuff your top backs. Doesn't matter who it is.
Any other waiver wire last thoughts?
Yeah, so tight ends got some pretty decent options this week. Kyle Rudolph, it's the holidays after all, right? So Rudolph is going to be in the mix. If Adam Thielen comes back, you know, he was on the COVID-19 list, then Rudolph loses a little bit of his luster. But I would still start him if I needed help at the position. Maybe Rob Gronkowski's on a bye for you this week. They've got the Jaguars, the Vikings do. Dalton Schultz, I talk about him every week and nobody picks him up. But, I mean, all he does is get targets. 26 in his last 4 games. The matchup's not great in week 13 against the Ravens, though. Trey Burton had a touchdown this past week. He's given you 10-plus points in 2 straight and 4 of his last 6. Logan Thomas is really not a good matchup this week against Pittsburgh. But this dude plays just as many snaps and runs just as many routes as any tight end in the league. So maybe not this week, but Logan Thomas could be on your radar during the fantasy playoffs. And again, I will say it, Tyler freaking Bass, pick him up. Guy's awesome. I mean, I have Younghoe Koo in a handful of leagues. He had 21 points last week. Don't tell me kickers don't matter. He outscored like more than half of the quarterbacks in the league.
Points are points. Points are points. Last question before we go. Is there any, who is your biggest bust? I know that we haven't really talked about this much, but do you have a biggest bust this year?
The two guys that come to mind are Michael Thomas and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, Michael Thomas, you know, missed a lot of time because of injury, and then he punched a teammate and he was out for a game. But even when he's played this year, he's had one good game. That's it. Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Guy was the best wide receiver in fantasy football by a mile last year. And then Lamar Jackson, like, now he's got COVID, so he's not going to play this week. But I mean, geez Louise, his numbers have been really mediocre for him. He was averaging nearly 28 a game. I mean, this year is not even close. It's just a reminder, you got to beware the magical season. Both of those guys, even Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Now, he's been great when he's played, but he's been hurt. And he had so many touches last year. There's this thing in football and in fantasy football. It was a curse of 370. A lot of times when a running back, you know, hit that 370 touch mark, like, he was seriously in jeopardy of maybe not performing as well the following year or getting hurt. That's what's happened to McCaffrey.
Well, Michael, as always, thank you for your time. Michael Fabiano, Sandy Charles, and we'll see you next week.